Unemployment in D.C.'s Ward 8 is at least 18%. In the midst of the job insecurity east of the Anacostia River, the federal government is undertaking its largest project in the U.S. Construction has begun on the Department of Homeland Security's $3.4 billion headquarters on the 176-acre west campus of the former St. Elizabeth's Hospital. March 30th, more than 100 local residents gathered in the basement of Matthews Memorial Baptist Church. Before marching to St. Elizabeth's, Raymond Diaz, an organizer with DC Jobs or Else, addressed the gathering and then introduced Yengo Sawyer, a community activist.
That's right. It's about all of us coming together, basically, to put pressure on these folks for these jobs. So, yes, this is a movement about demanding jobs for DC residents. It's an ongoing movement. And it started with marching and demanding the construction jobs at the 11th Street Bridge and meeting here today and marching again today. This is another step and many steps to come to get these jobs for DC residents. How many folks in this room have already gone and applied at St. Elizabeth's? Okay. That's a good number of the folks represented here today. Now, has anybody that's here today been hired?
No.
Okay, do y'all know anyone that has been hired?
No?
Okay, so what's the problem? So what's the problem? Right? Now, do we know, let's ask ourselves this question. Do we know what the follow-up procedure is for applicants at St. Elizabeth? Do any of you know what the follow-up procedure is? Okay. So clearly, no, we don't. The actual hiring process is unknown. As most of you know, they'll hire someone, right? Work for 2 weeks, and then they get that background back, and you nod your head, okay. Okay, and then what happens? They let you go.
That's right.
With no explanation, nothing. Also, I caught a word that the actual trailer, as you all know, it's always open within these hours. It's possible that they've caught wind of what we're doing today. So what do you all think they did with the trailer?
They moved it or locked it up.
Okay, do y'all think that's right?
No.
I mean, considering they said that, right?
So, I mean, they hired something.
That's right. So that's why, you know, we're not going to stop there. We're still going to go out there and do what we have to do to make sure that our voices collectively are heard. What I wanted to do now, before we went ahead and headed out of here today, was I wanted for our brother Yengo Sawyer of this community, who's going to share a few words with us. He spoke last time. This is brother Yengo Sawyer, and he's with the Mo Better Man show, which comes on 14:50 a.m., and I'll let him share a few words with us. Excuse me. Thank you.
I don't represent the Mo Better Man. You know, I'm just a part of his show. I represent the interests of men and women who've been incarcerated. I'm the co-founder of a group called the Coalition of Returned Citizens. I did almost 35 years in prison off and on an installment plan. I'm a recovering addict. I've been clean almost 13 years after using almost 40. You know, and I want to tell you today, you are the vanguard of this movement. And when I talk about being the vanguard, I'm talking about you're in front. That means you can't get discouraged. You know, you can't let nobody say, hey, it ain't going to work. It will work. History verifies that. Dr. King started marching, protesting in the South. Because we couldn't eat besides some other folks. We couldn't work besides some other folks. But it worked. And this right here worked also. You have to be consistent. When the call go out, you got to respond. You know, you have to listen to those folks who organized this. Because it's in our best interest. You know, they discriminate against men and women who've been in prison based on record. When I ride through the city, you know, and then they say we're not qualified. When I ride through the city, I see folks digging ditches, shoveling dirt. What kind of qualifications do you have to have for that? Can somebody tell me? You know, at the last march, you know, the guy that headed the Department of Transportation here in D.C. said, they right. He said, but you know, you got to show folks how to work on bridges. And when I rode through the city this afternoon coming, I saw them out there shoveling dirt on 11th Street Bridge. And so I say again, but you can't get discouraged. You know, we got to be consistent. This is what they call, you know, a protracting struggle, which means it's a continuous struggle. You know, we got to bring our friends. At the next march, we want to have 1,000 people. 1,000 people, because in numbers there is strength. Let me say something else also before I shut up. One of the things they say when they do house, we come to work 3 days on time, the fourth day, you know, we come at 9, you know, the fifth day we come at 10 or 11, you know, the sixth day we call in. You and I have to be examples for the men and women who organize this. We can't let them down. When jobs become available, they're going to become available. That means that you have to be an excellent representation. When you get a job, you're supposed to be there at 6 o'clock, be there at quarter to 6, 5:30. You see, because one of the things that they use against us is, well, man, I hired 4 or 5 of them. You know, they didn't come to work. They're not dependable, you know. They don't know how to talk to the supervisor. And so they use that as another reason not to hire you and I. And so again, you and I have to be an excellent representation of the brothers and sisters who organized this. Yeah. And, again, man, I want to say, this is our time. Let me hear you say that. This is our time. Loud, please. This is our time. This is our time. The change that you've been waiting for is you and I. The change that you've been waiting for is you and I. And today is a continuation of that movement that the brother talked about. This is a movement. Movements become bigger, become stronger, you know. And so, man, I'm ready to march. How many of y'all ready to march? And so I just say that now because, you know, don't be easing out the door. You don't ease out the door because the brothers say, well, man, you know, we may not get no job for 30 days. You know, everybody in this room should be marching to St. Elizabeth. Those folks who are going to take applications in, be prepared, be real diplomatic. Good evening, sir, good afternoon, you know, woo, 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 woo. You know, because I'm telling you, you know, the jobs are going to be made available. If not, then some other folks may not be able to work. You know, we may have to lay down. Okay, and again, man, thank you. Give yourself a great big hand, please.
As he marched with more than 100 others to St. Elizabeth's, Yango Sawyer discussed the need for jobs for district residents.
A lot of the folks who are doing the work in D.C. don't live in D.C. And so some folks organized some marches. It's the second one going to St. Elizabeth Hospital, which is one of the biggest construction building sites in the country. So we're marching up here to demand some jobs for men and women who live in D.C., particularly, and folks who are coming out of prison and folks who've been in prison also. And it's extremely important because a number of the men and women who were at the rally has raised their hands because they had applied for jobs at St. Elizabeth and didn't get a response. And so the organizers have a list of demands. They're going to take some folks in to submit applications. And hopefully they'll get jobs. We're not going to put much hope into it. But one of the things that we learned from the organizers is that we'll be back continuously until our population, and I talk about our population, I'm talking about men and women who have been in prison and the residents of this city are hired to do some of this work in this city.
The name of the campaign is DC Jobs or Else.
Or Else, yes.
Explain the or else.
Well, or else, nobody else will work. You know, we'll shut the sites down. You know, and we talk about setting the sites down. We talk about doing the same thing that Dr. King and a number of other folks did around the country in terms of making jobs available for black and poor folks during the 60s and the 70s. You know, so when we talk about RLs, that's what we're talking about, closing sites down.
A lot of folks turned out today.
Say that again?
A lot of folks turned out today.
Yes.
I think it speaks to the need for the jobs.
Yeah. Folks want work in this city. See, when you get work, able to support your family, you're able to pay taxes, you're able to do things that folks do who feel worthy. See, when you ain't got no money in your pocket, and you can't feed the family, you know, it's like dehumanizing. Particularly when you walk past job sites and other folks are working. You know, so folks turned out because they want work. Hopefully the next time more folks will turn out. You know.
Last week was a march to the 11th Street Bridge. We're now, as just to let listeners know, just across from St. Elizabeth's as we approach the van, I guess, where they're supposed to hire. It's supposed to be open at certain hours so local folks can come and get jobs, but apparently that hasn't been happening.
Well, you know, if I understand the question correct, a number of folks have applied for jobs but wasn't hired at this particular site here. Excuse me. A number of folks who had been in prison had got work, and 2 weeks later they were fired because they had been in prison. And so one of the things that we talked about with some folks who helped organize this is that including in the campaign for jobs is that we have to talk about what we can do to remove discrimination against men and women who've been in prison as a direct result of their record. For an example, what has housebreaking got to do with you digging a ditch for a construction job? And so one of the things that they use for this particular project here is our record. You know, or if you stole something, you know, whatever that got to do with digging a ditch. But I call it a two-pronged discrimination. One because you're black, the other one because you've been in prison, you know, or a minority, you know. And so this right here is a reflection of people wanting to work. People want to work. You know, jobs are available, but not available for us for some reason or another, you know.
I wonder if in some way the digging the ditch does have to do with having a record, in the sense that if jobs don't go to the areas where they're desperately needed, then people have little option. People have to eat one way or another.
Well, what they've done, they've legislated laws to discriminate against men and women who've been in prison. Just like they legislated laws in the 50s and the 40s against black people, you know. And so they say, okay, man, you got a record. We can't hire you. And as a result of that, they discriminate against us, which nothing should have anything to do with a job because you've been in prison. And that'd be something different, man, if a guy applied to a bank for employment. He was a bank robber. Or he embezzled some money. Okay, we can't give you that job because you robbed our bank, you embezzled some money. So what we're going to do, we're going to refer you to another job. You know. But if people ain't working, that means that people are going to jail. Because you folks want to support their family. That's why you find so many people who've coming out to these march and rallies that's been in prison. There's a contradiction. Some folks say the people don't want to work. But the contradiction is in the numbers of folks who are coming out that verify that people want jobs. We just want an opportunity. Not only men and women who've been in prison, but the people who live in Ward 8. They want jobs. Ward 8 has the highest unemployment rate in the city. Folks want to work. You know, folks, our population stands on the corner where other folks are doing the work, not only on these work sites. If you look at who are doing the streets, it's folks who live in Maryland, Virginia. You know, so we want jobs, man. That's what our demands are. And we need employment.
Folks who have gone to jail and then served their time, have trouble getting a job, and so the punishment becomes, would you say the punishment becomes much greater than what is originally given by the judge?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a continuation of injustice. You know, when you deny a person employment because he's been locked up, your guy go to jail, spend maybe 20 years, 15 years. When he come home, man, opportunity should be made available to him in terms of employment and whatever else he need in order to be a productive member of our society.
The General Services Administration is heading up the construction of the St. Elizabeth site. Marchers plan to visit the GSA Opportunity Center on the grounds of St. Elizabeth in order to hand in job applications. According to the February GSA Opportunity Center newsletter, quote, the Opportunity Center continues to work on involvement in the Ward 8 community. The center's objectives of employment, training, subcontracting opportunities, and tours for community and agency stakeholders ring true today as they did a year ago, end quote. Last week's marchers, however, were surprised to find the gates to the Opportunity Center closed at a time when the center was scheduled to be open. Standing in front of the locked gate with bullhorn in hand, Donald Temple, a civil rights attorney, asked marchers to get down on their knees and pray.
Construction site 2 miles from the White House, where there's a 30% unemployment in our city, and then tell our community they can stimulate New York, they can stimulate the banks, but they cannot stimulate Washington, D.C. What do we want?
Jobs!
There's something wrong with this picture. We are asking not just you, we're asking the business people, we're asking the government workers, we're asking the church, we're asking the community to support our cause. This is not just about the workers. It's about our families, it's about our children, and it's about this community. And it's about our future. What do we want?
Jobs!
Now they won't open the gates. They won't talk to us. Now, I'm going to ask you something that's real special, okay? And this is not something that we do. I don't know how you pray or what you think, but I'm going to ask you to join with me to ask God to give us the strength in this struggle. Right? People are suffering. So I'm going to ask you to join with me and get on your knees right here.
My knees is rough, man. Spin down. My knees is hard.
We want people to know that this struggle is not just a struggle of black people and poor people in this community. This struggle is not just about our humanity, but it's also about our spirit.
That's right.
And we're asking people around the country who understand what we mean as human beings, when they look at us, not to see the color of our skin.
All right.
Or to see something that doesn't exist, but to see our humanity and our spirit. We're asking them to join us in invoking God to give us the strength and the blessings to open up our eyes to do what is right, whether they're Muslim or Christian or Jewish, to join us in the spirituality of our struggle.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you to pray in your silent way
as we struggle here for jobs and for a decent living standard for people in this community, just outside the back door of the White House.
Open that gate, TSA.
But they can't close the gate to our hearts and our minds and our struggle. We're not going to wait. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to ask people not only in the city, but people in this region to join us. It's not a question of just jobs. It's a question of what's right. And this is right. You can't build a $400 million project in this community and then tell us that we can't participate in the benefits of that. Okay, this is not South African apartheid. This is Washington, D.C. Okay, it's our backyard.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're not going to build it, then take the city, take the neighborhood away from us and move us away.
Right.
And then don't give us the opportunity to do it.
We're here to stay.
We're going to keep coming.
We're going to keep coming.
There's going to be more people the next time.
Right.
And we want the elected officials in the city to come out because it's their battle. Move from behind your desk. Move from behind your car and be here with the people.
Thank you.
Where we want.
Back at the church following the action, Donald Temple addressed the marchers.
I just wanted to say about 40 to 50 years ago, doors were closed in this country and people had to do just what we're doing today. And so sometimes we're going to get a little tired, but we ain't got time to be tired. You know, we're going to have to keep pushing. So I want to thank you personally, each and every person here. And I hope that each and every person makes a personal commitment to tell other people, and other people tell other people, because the nut don't come to the squirrel, you know? And so if we want it, we got to keep getting. I'm going to try to educate as many people as I can and use the advantage of being a civil rights lawyer to try to promote the cause. But if you don't have economic democracy, you can't have political democracy, you know what I mean? We have an election coming up in this ward in about 3 weeks for at-large council, excuse me, it's going to be an election in the city. And people don't think that people in this ward vote. You know, it's like the invisible man. So we got to get people to know that we're here. And we can't sit back and wait for something to happen. We're going to keep trying and trying. And if you don't have the skill, we want to make sure you get the capacity to have a skill. I was just telling the reporter, damn if it's not electricians in Ward 8. Damn if it's not carpenters in Ward 8. You know, I mean, you see, so it's not like we don't have the skill set. We got plumbers, we got carpenters, we got laborers, you know. I mean, what does it take to move some dirt? You know what I mean? You know, so we got to keep struggling and struggling and struggling. At some point, the gate's going to be open. Some kind of deal's got to be cut where we make sure that it's a $4 billion project. $4 billion. And I don't like the position that we're in that we have to beg somebody for some money and they're doing something in our neighborhood. That's insane. You know, so we have to stand up for our own dignity. We're not looking down. We're going to look people eye to eye. You know, we're men and women. All we want is the respect that this community deserves. And I just underscore, it's not just about us. It's about our children. It's about their children. It's about our city. You know, we don't want Washington to be a place when all this is done and said where everybody that looks like us got to live in Charles County. You know what I mean? So I want to just say thank you again, and I want to keep you in my prayers, each and every one of you. I want you to keep me in your prayers. Thank you.